Joining us right now, a guy who's become Mr. Chicago Bull. He's a studio analyst for them, does the Bulls Talk podcast, but I remember him as a very solid member of the New Jersey Nets, my New Jersey Nets, our New Jersey Nets. And that, of course, is Kendall Gill. Kendall, Joe, and Evan here in New York. How are you?
Kendall, how are you?
All right. How's it going?
We're good. We're good.
All right.
First of all right, a lot of bad men. Did you watch the Jordan documentary last night, by the way, Kendall?
Oh, of course. You know, that's must-see TV now.
All right.
Especially here in Chicago.
I can understand. Now, what'd you think? Because I think back to that first-round series against the Bulls, and I'm a naive little kid. I got to tell you, Kendall, I go into that series thinking, hey, you never know. Hey, steal game one. You know, maybe they'll shock the world. As a guy who had been in the league for a bunch of years now, that was a fun Nets team. Coach Cal's coaching them. What was the mentality of that team, especially with all the injuries you guys were dealing with, going into a series in which you're not just facing a team heavily favored, you're facing this historic team. You're facing the Bulls. What was the thought going into that series?
We had nothing to lose because, you guys remember, we had to beat the Detroit Pistons the last game of the season to get into the playoffs. So, you know, and of course, Sam Cassell was hurt. Jason Williams was hurt. We had a number of key guys hurt. Keith Van Horn was sick. So we were actually going into that series limping, and limping pretty bad. And, you know, I saw in the documentary last night where Michael said we'd have to be asleep to lose a game to the New Jersey Nets.
Yes.
Well, you know, game one, we almost caught them. They were taking a nap, but they woke up at the end. So, you know, and the team being so young, I don't think Kerry Kittles and Keith Van Horn really knew any better. They're like, we're just playing basketball. They didn't really realize they were playing the Chicago Bulls dynasty.
You know something, that Kendall, that I have taken away from this is how Jordan has never gives anybody any compliments that he played against. I mean, like, he won't even come out and say, boy, that guy gave me some fits defensively. You know, you don't ever hear that from him whatsoever. How about that, Kendall?
Yeah, no, he's never going to do that because he's the ultimate competitor. You know, even if you have great games against him, you know, he's not going to admit it. I remember we played in the greatest pickup game in the world I believe it was my third year in the league, and I had 36 points on him in the first half. And, you know, he never gave me props for that. But, you know, he went in the locker room and it tore up the locker room. This is a summer league game.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and Ala Abdanabi tells the story on his podcast because he was on Michael's team. And, you know, at the barbecue after the pickup game, he didn't say one word to me. He didn't say good game or anything. So, no, he's never going to give anybody credit.
On that, the image I have of that series, I forget everything about Game 3 and Game 2 because the series was there in Game 1. You guys had a chance to win that series. Chris Gatling was hitting a lot of big shots in the fourth quarter and overtime. But my image is Jordan picking the pocket of Kerry Kittles, racing down the court, and you are the last gasp hope of somehow stopping this freight train known as Michael Jordan. And obviously,
yeah.
Jordan gets a bucket and one. What's your thought in those seconds as you are racing down the court, hoping to do the impossible, and that stopped Michael, because it's a tie game at the time in this moment?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm still mad at Kerry Kittles, because he didn't run the play that he was supposed to run. Decided, you know, we were come out of the huddle. Calipari draws up a play. All right, Kerry, you're going to get the ball. Michael Jordan's on you. Swing the ball to Kendall, who has Tony coach on him, and just let Kendall take him one-on-one.
Right.
What does Kerry Kittles decide to do? He decides to try to take Michael Jordan by himself. So Michael steals the basketball, and he's got like three or four steps on me. But I really think that I could catch him because, you know, I had success against Michael guarding him, you know, and blocking his shots and things like that. You know, not on the fast break, but, you know, blocking his jump shots and everything. But I still thought that I had an opportunity to get it. And then, you know, last seconds of the game, it was a key play. The only thing is that, you know, he jumped before I did, and unfortunately I fouled him, and here I am, what, 22 years later, still having to answer questions about that. And anytime, like, my brother wants to shut me up or something, he sends me that play.
But listen, I'll tell you this as a Net fan. I don't blame you. I blame Kerry Kittles. I mean, you're just the guy Hail Marying it, trying to stop this disaster. So I don't hold that against you, at least.
Yeah, no, I know you don't hold that against me, but the thing is, you know, we had to show those guys that we weren't afraid of them. You know, right. I think that Michael Jordan, you know, did to a lot of players what Mike Tyson used to do to his opponents, beat them before they even got to the arena. And that's the one thing that you cannot do. You have to make those guys respect. You saw Michael and I believe his verbal abuse of Scottie Burrell yesterday. There's no way in the world I would have let anybody talk to me like that. Mm. You know, but Scottie suffered from the Mike Tyson effect. You know, and that's why Michael was able to deal with Scottie the way he was able to deal with him. And you know, listen, you're not going to stop Michael Jordan ever because he's just that good. And then he played in my opinion, the best offense that there's ever been in basketball, the triangle offense. You just have to try to slow him down. And, you know, all the times that I played against him, that's what I tried to do.
Well, let me ask you this, because we've seen a lot made of how he treated his teammates. How would it have been for you? If you weren't going to take the stuff he did to Scott Burrell, do you think it would have ended badly if you were a teammate of Michael?
Yeah, you guys know I became a professional boxer after I played, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it wouldn't have been too good. You know, but and listen, but as long as he had respected me, you know, and because I worked just as hard, you know, and I'm a professional and everything, then everything would have been fine. But, you know, the name calling and everything, because there's different styles of leadership. You look at the way that Magic Johnson led. He didn't do that. You look at the way that David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Avery Johnson led, and they still won championships. You know, I believe in respecting my teammates. Yeah, every once in a while, yeah, you gotta get in somebody's butt, but you can do it in a way where you don't degrade them.
Talking to Kendall Gill, of course, the former New Jersey Net. Kendall, you know, what kind of guy? Because I always had a very good relationship with Jason Williams, and you know, before you know the tragedy that happened and changed everything with him. Mm-hmm. But what kind of a teammate was Jason Williams?
He was a great teammate. You know, came to work, was not selfish, worked hard each and every day. I remember the year that he was named to the All-Star team. He worked extremely hard to make that All-Star team and was rebounding like crazy that season. And, you know, a lot of people see the Jason that was portrayed after the tragedies and everything. Yeah, it was a bad thing that happened, bad thing for a family that lost a loved one. Jason had to go away for a while, as we all know. But, you know, he had to serve his time because, you know, what he did, you know, you can't let anybody slide with that. But, you know, I'm still friends with Jason. I still keep in contact with him. It's just unfortunate that he had to go through a traumatic time. And but he was a great teammate.
We're talking to Kendall Gill, now does some Bulls post and pre, and obviously spent many years with the New Jersey Nets. What was Coach Calipari like? Because here he is, a lot younger than he is now. He's has his first foray into the NBA and had some success. I love that 98 team. You know, I thought you guys were actually better than what the record said, and I was just hoping all year, make the playoffs and avoid the eight spot. So I enjoyed that team. It was a fun team. What was it like for you? You had been there through some of the lean years, and now you've got John Calipari there. What was he like as a head coach?
He was very good. I actually had the best year of my career statistically under him the year previous to the year making the playoffs. And, you know, taught me a lot about the game. And, you know, he just had a real enthusiasm about the game. And I thought that his enthusiasm was so great that he would burn himself out, you know, because he was a screamer. Of course, you guys all know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he kind of coached it like he was in college. But, you know, I think that had he gone a number of years, you know, he probably would have burned himself out. And I think he's in a place where he should be right now at the University of Kentucky. He's had great success. I mean, could he coach on a pro level again? Absolutely. Yeah, because he's a great coach. But I think he's learned a lot about changing his style and making it more conducive to the pro game.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I've learned this lesson many times as a sports fan. After a season ends, you have all this hope for the following year. And I had so much hope for the 99 Nets, especially with the lockout. It's a shortened season. You guys are young. The team on the rise. And the team was god off. I think you guys started 3-17. It was over before it started. What the heck went wrong with that 99 team?
You know, I really can't put my finger on it, you know, because I had the same expectations that you did. You know, I thought that coming off of that playoff bid and getting that experience and, you know, Kerry and Keith coming off of young, Keith having a rookie year, Kerry coming off his second year, they would have that experience going in. I thought we were going to take off. But unfortunately, as you said, we started off 3-17. I remember actually Cal's last game. We were playing the Miami Heat, and it was just really sad because, you know, you have this young, brilliant coach that's, you know that this is the end of the rope for him, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we were such a success, and then all of a sudden, like you said, we just fell off a cliff, and I still can't put my finger on it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you couldn't have been surprised they let him go, though, right? I mean, but do you look back at that decision now, Kendall, and say, boy, they probably should have stuck with Calipari. Do you think that?
Yeah, I think that they could have stuck with him a little bit longer, you know. But, you know, the New York media, man, you know, you guys you guys are tough, you know. So, and there was a lot of pressure back then on having a change. And, you know, that's just what the ownership decided to do.
Did you know, as you're playing that series against Chicago in 98, a lot of the back behind the scenes stuff that we're hearing now, you know, basically the team is going to be taken apart, that Michael said you got to fall asleep to lose to the Nets. What did you guys know, especially you, because you mentioned there's a lot of young guys on the team. They probably didn't know much. But what did you know about the Bulls and all the behind the scenes stuff going into that series in 98?
I didn't know what I knew now. You know, I didn't know that how stressful it was for the Bulls. You know, even though they were successful, you can tell through The Last Dance that it was a stressful environment to be in. I mean, you had Kraus wanting to make a coaching change, Phil knowing that it's his last year, Michael being tired. I believe he got emotionally and mentally and physically tired once again, like he did when he won the third championship. Scotty and his contract dispute. I mean, you throw all of that stuff into the mix, and you know, I'm not surprised that this team was broken up. I don't know how they could have gone through another season like they did in 1998. I think that the Chicago Bulls won as many championships as they were supposed to, that being six. A lot of people say, well, if Michael hadn't have retired, could they have won eight in a row? I don't think so, because I think that you take into account the stressful environment they were in, the injuries, right, that would have eventually happened, the emotional and physical toll that it takes on you. I used to think that they would have won eight, but now watching The Last Dance over these last several weeks, I don't think that they would have.
You know, one thing that also, and again, we're talking to Kendall Gill, that I've taken away from this is how much they didn't like Jerry Krause. Excuse me. I mean, they couldn't stand Jerry Krause. I mean, you listen to him, and he's talking like, hey, this is all about the organization. Well, the organization hasn't won a championship come close to one since Michael Jordan's been gone, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, that's the one thing that I did know. I did know that, you know, when I was playing, that the Bulls did not like – the Bulls players, rather, did not like Jerry Krause. And, I never agreed with what Jerry Krause was saying when he was saying organizations win championships. Of course, yeah, we know that because, you know, you have the GM who has to get the players, the coach has to coach the players, and everybody in the front office has to work accordingly. But really, the guys that are on the court, those are the guys that win the championships. You know, okay? And, you know, I thought that Jerry should have taken a back seat, not said anything, and possibly could have kept that team together longer.
All right, my last question about that dunk and the foul that Jordan had. This is the last one, I promise.
Yeah.
He's screaming in the air after that happened. And I remember where I was as a kid watching it. That's when I knew this thing's over. Game's over, series is over, even though I think there was still a minute left in the game. As he's screaming, is he just screaming out of excitement, or is he actually talking trash? Is he talking trash to you? What is
he
saying?
No. He's screaming out of excitement. He didn't say anything to me. And, you know, I know Michael, and Michael and I have had a lot of personal interactions, and you know, have hung out several times. So, you know, Michael respects me the same way as I respect him. So he wouldn't try to show me up in any way like that. The same way I wouldn't try and do that to him. So. you know, he was just screaming out in excitement. That's all.
Kendall, you know, they went into the whole thing about when he was filming that Space Jam movie and how, you know, Hollywood basically built him this like arena, you know, the Michael Dome or whatever they called it. And he had these unbelievable pickup games with all these, you know, NBA players playing in these pickup games. Were you involved in that at all or not?
Was not involved in that at all because I was a newlywed, and she wouldn't let me go out to L.A. to hang out.
But you were invited to go play, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was invited to go, but I didn't go that year.
Is there? I look at you and I look at your net career. I mean, you were there for a while. You know, in the NBA to be on the same team for 5.5, 6 years—that's a long time. And you just missed the Jason Kidd era. That was your last year. The year before was your last year with the New Jersey Nets. Any regrets over that? Looking back on it, saying, "Man, I wish it worked out." And I'm sure no one knew. I certainly didn't. What kind of jump the team would have after the Marbury Kidd trade? But do you look back at that and say, "Boy, that would have been fun to be on that team for a year."
Yeah, it would have been fun, but I don't have any regrets over you know, the way that my career went. You know, that was supposed to happen. You know, they brought in Jason. They needed some new blood in. I had already been there for 6 years. I actually felt that it was at that time for me to move on as well, because I was, you know, when you're in a place for a long period of time, you get kind of stale and you need to be rejuvenated. So, you know, it happened the way that it was supposed to happen.
Do you like the fact that Nets are in Brooklyn now, Kendall?
I love it, man. Hey, listen, I wish they had gone over to Brooklyn for a couple of years when I was there, too, you know what I mean? So I could have got a chance to play over there in Brooklyn and everything. Even though I love New Jersey, I actually, when I was playing, I lived in Manhattan. I lived on 43rd and 11th Avenue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was able to just jump right in the Lincoln Tunnel and go right over to practice. So I stayed in the city, but, you know, yeah, man, I would have loved to have played in Brooklyn.
What was, cause you were on that Timberwolf team that won 50 plus games and you're with a young Kevin Garnett who, and I think about his career, what an intense, intense player. What kind of teammate was KG like?
He was great. What you saw on the court is the exact same way he was in practice. He came, he played hard every day. And I can remember him coming into practice one day. I forget who he was talking to, one of the big guys. He's like, "You guys in trouble today. I feel good today." And this is just practice, you know. And so he's going in practice exactly the way that he goes in games. And that's the one thing that I respected about Kevin Garnett.
You know, one other thing, too, and again, we're talking to Kendall Gill. They're showing that 95, the 95 year when Jordan comes back and they lose the series to Orlando and Nick Anderson gets the big steal in game one, and Nick Anderson even hits a big shot at the end of game six to kind of, you know, to finish off the series. Didn't you play with him on that Final Four team with Illinois in 89? Am I right? Right about
that?
Oh,
yeah. Nick and I were roommates as freshmen, and of course, we're still close to this day. All of my teammates back in for the 1989 Flying Illini, and, you know, Nick had a great pro career, and, you know, him stealing that ball from Michael and hitting that shot in the game where they eliminated the Bulls.
Yep.
I think that's one of the highlights of Nick's career. And, you know, we talked about that earlier. I just got done doing a show a few minutes ago, and, you know, I talk about how Michael came back. His body just wasn't ready. That's just Floyd Mayweather 4 weeks to prepare for Canelo Alvarez. You need 8 weeks to get your body ready, and that's exactly why Michael could not get over the hump. His body just wasn't the same.
Yeah. Well, Kendall, great talking to you, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for having me.